15th of June, and we're back for the landmark episode number 30.
Who would have thought?
Didn't think you'd make it this far, bugger.
I didn't.
I thought you'd be replaced by now. I thought it'd be Evan sitting here.
What are you, some replacement? Evan.
Evan sitting here, and you press record over there. Shame, yeah. Never know. Another 20 episodes could be all different. You could be holding the fucking boom.
You'd have to get rid of that cap.
Yeah, you wouldn't want him on the show now in his current form. It looked more of a mattress make app than that.
Does, yeah. He's doing well for himself. He can't take the piss out of mattress make.
Or mattress maker, Evan. They're both doing well.
They are, yeah.
They're both doing well. Evan hasn't crashed in 3 weeks now. He hasn't been riding very much, but...
No. No.
He would have definitely crashed today. Off-road.
Dodgy enough, isn't it?
Off-road, but one hand is tough work. Holding the camera.
Holding the camera is not
I needed a massive get-down last week on camera.
I don't want to kind of take your tech news away from you, but that new device that we got would have been handy today, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. The tech news is funny out of reach. I'll have to do a bit of climbing for that. Right, we get the show started with a bit of domestic news.
Let's rock in.
Domestic news. Mullingar crit last night. Dermot Trulock took the win, lap in the field. Two lap riders ruined his photo.
Wrecked it.
Yeah.
Wrecked it.
Why did they sprint with a lap to go? There were two laps.
I don't know what was going on there.
No, bizarre. Mark Dowland, second, national crit champ. Matteo Sigala, Evergreen, number three. Adam Stenson, good breakout ride for him in fourth. Shaw and Lavery. Filling out the top six.
Fifth and six. Serious scalp there for Dermot. That's a big ride.
Big win. Big win for him.
Yeah, that's an outstanding performance from him. Like, he's obviously come out of the Ross very, very well. A bit of a topic of conversation when we were talking about the younger guys and, you know, how they handle the Ross and what way they'd come out of it physically.
Yeah, he's motoring.
He's absolutely trucking by looks.
It's not a massive race, but the win's very impressive because of the field up there.
Because of the field, yeah. Super result.
Matteo's hard to beat in crit.
He is. So are the other lads that are there, like Shaw. Lavery are there as well.
Shaw's been on the podium in the crit champs. A lot of people don't think he's a crit rider. He's a fucking... He can go around corner as well.
I mean, you win solo in a race where there's lads like that there, it's a serious result.
Yeah, there you go.
Fair play.
Matteo won two races on the bounce, Sunday and Tuesday this week. Mm-hmm. He won down Chum, fastest race in the country. Chum. And then Mondello.
Two times with that joke.
Love that joke. And then Mondello.
Motor.
Is Motor. What's on the weekend? Upcoming.
Let me see. Could be on this weekend.
Tell me about it.
This weekend on Saturday, Chris McManus, A2 race. Met a lad on the bike path, our mate Skipper, who's doing the A2 race.
Done in Ramwood.
Yeah. That's on Saturday. Then we have the Noel Teggart Ulster on Sunday.
Who won that last year?
Ryan Sherlock. As far
Ryan,
as I know.
Ryan hasn't been around a bit.
Yeah, I didn't think
fastest man on the internet.
He is. Yeah.
He's power to born.
Trucking on the internet. Munster Road Race Champs.
Oh yeah, I'm eligible for that.
Are you?
I think so. Cork based club. Yeah, I think it goes off either your county of residence or your club.
Oh, that's interesting one.
I think it is Castle Road, the TT champs in Munster a few years ago. And it was uproar about showing up. Because you rode the Munster one instead of the Leinster one.
Aye, that's right, yeah, I remember that.
You can't ride both now.
I think I won the Leinster one.
Did you? Nah, you're well retired at this stage.
Oh.
Yeah, no, this was only last year, season 4 last. You've been gone since mid 80s. I can't even remember last time I seen you in the race. What else is on?
There's a funny one here for you there, and you're laughing away. Dunamon GP out.
Dunamon. What are you talking about? Navan?
No. Donovan. Dunamon? That's what they call it.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were trying to say Navan and you're having a stroke.
No. Dunamon GP. It is. That's the name of the club. They're in Roscommon.
Oh, right.
Roscommon lads, yeah. Good lads there as well. Dara Feely took the win there and made an absolute show of your club last year. He took the win ahead of Lacey, the good man himself. Marco Callaghan was second and Foley was third. So there was a trio of them chasing them down.
So look, we stacked the top five.
Yeah.
Sure, if that doesn't smell of a gift, I don't know what does. That's a gift if ever I've seen it. I'd say that cost him a few quid.
I did.
Sure, how do you think we funded the Ross this year? Sure, that was it. Cheers for that, Tara.
Nolan Kieran Hammond, TT. And sir, that's
Lurky won it last year.
Really?
Think so, yeah.
That's the lumpy one out around...
He won it, despite Castle completely flicking him. Castle was meant to meet him at the race, give him a TT helmet and TT wheels. And he sent him a text about an hour before saying, I'm not going to make it. So he'd ridden out there. No TT wheels, no helmet. I think he scabbed a road helmet or something and a pair of training wheels and he still won it.
That's good, isn't it?
That is good, yeah.
If Fairness to him.
Considering he can't TT for shy as well.
That's probably why he won. He was on a road bike, wasn't he?
No, he was on a TT bike.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, on that mad Ian Kamish PDQ bike.
PDQ.
Yeah, it's a nice bike.
And then the Mead GP, our most local one, I suppose, would be on on Sunday. And last year, Javin Nulty beat your teammate as well, Sagala.
Sagala would be a good weekend of bridesmaid in that weekend.
Yeah, he's dead, yeah.
We'll go back, Wicklow 200 is my favourite race of the year. I'll call it a race now because it's just kind of where I'm at at the moment. Yeah, we're both in the same place at the moment.
I'm glad you agree.
Where it's a race. Next year, there's a few more competitors to beat off. They can't put a 3,200 this year, but they're saying they're going to expand it next year. I haven't put a number on it. Will it be 4,000, 5,000? Alan Heary, good man. He said it's all about doing it well and expanding at the right pace. If you want to keep the character of the event, nothing changes in that sense. So it could definitely have more people.
I thought it had the infrastructure to have more people.
Yeah,
definitely. There was a decent amount of people on the road, but
they
it wasn't
sandwiches for 100,000.
The whole country. Yeah, they definitely could have had more. We were riding by people all day, but it didn't ever give you the feeling that it wasn't safe.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Yeah,
and on that note, Bogle has announced the next date on his Grand Tour of Sportifs.
Oh, you announced this one, not me.
The Leinster Loop will be the next Sportif we're taking part in.
It is.
That's not until the 13th of August, so we'll be a bit of time to fine-tune the preparation for it.
Yeah, a bit of a taper before then.
Yeah, it's 130 kilometres. There's five different routes, but so you can turn off at many different points here. So the one most suited to your fitness at the start of the season would have been the 12K family ramble. It's around Kildare. It's open to individuals and families.
You're right, Neville.
12K? Yeah. He's not allowed out in groups.
He's definitely not allowed now.
The one we'll most likely opt for, it's 130 kilometer. It's a challenging route through Kildare, Laois, Kilkenny, Carlow.
130K?
Yeah.
I would whoop you over that distance.
No, the wheels came off you at 126K.
4K to go.
Yeah. There's a 90 kilometer option, there's a 50 kilometer option, there's a 25 kilometer option. You could just go full gas on the 50K option with your TT bike.
Yeah, could do.
So you have many different options there, so we'd be doing that one. We'd be doing a little bit of logging again there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sure, why not? Sure, why not? Right, Bugger, from the trivial to the serious. We talked, I put out a blog post during the week about A4 crashes. We talked briefly about it. Never want to throw out a problem without offering a solution.
It was a controversial post. Got a bit of traction.
Look, I love a bit of controversy.
I do, you love.
But, you know, there's lads just commenting on stuff. They don't read the fucking posts. You don't have a chair at the table in the debate if you don't even read the fucking thing. Read it before you start debating. So, right, at the start, this isn't me and Bugle looking down on A4s or A3s. Like, we've both been at the bottom of enough stack-ups to say that the debate is more informed on trying to make cycling a little bit safer rather than looking down and going, listen, we're great bike handlers, because we've all had our share of get-downs.
Oh, we have. More than the next man.
Yeah. So, a couple of random thoughts I'm going to show out. This isn't really a conclusive list, more to open a bit of a dialogue on it. You might have some, you might agree with these, you might not. Mandatory period of club racing prior to commencing open racing for guys.
I think that should be
the only thing people will say is everybody doesn't have access to a club league.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can figure it out. Like, there's enough club leagues around that if you have to travel fucking 5k, maybe it's only a matter of 5 club league races before you start.
Yeah, if you had to do a little bit of travel, like, or someone had to give you access into a club league just to get your quota.
Restricted numbers and pre-registration in A4 races. Pre-registration will work great with A1 registration when I launch that. Launch our new company, A1 registration, which is coming for the cycle across season.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's going to work brilliant. That'll be top of my list. A1 riders, I mentioned this one last week. I'm trying to back out. A1 riders,
that's the best one,
coach then. As an active participant in one A4 race per season. Riders need to learn from someone with experience.
I think that's a great idea. That one went down very well.
Yeah, I just pulled that out off the top of my head. Harder courses, hilltop finishes, hills to break up the course.
Yeah, well, like, obviously you can't cater that. You're changing the style of the race. I think, like, some lads are faster. They like doing the faster races and stuff. It is going to take crashes out of it, though, if they make them harder. Like, there is that side of it, but I think there's other ways of doing it as well.
A calendar with less races on for A4, so going with only A4 approved courses. So they should be, because it's a learning category, they don't need to be packing them into narrow little roads. Trying to pick roads that are wide, that are safe. So less A4 races, really, just safer horses.
No.
No?
Don't like that one, no. Sure, the less they do, like they need to do more of it, more and more, correctly, like obviously, but I don't think less racing is...
a commitment to having a minimum number of marshals and adequate race support.
Yeah, whatever.
I think everyone agrees on that one. Well, most of the time there is anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Longer races? The last one's 47k to cost the carnage.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah, lads lit up on caffeine before the start, bouncing around the place. And, you know, speaking to people that were actually in the race, the racing is not starting for a while. Like, and the lads are trying to, there's a certain amount of them that fancy themselves in the sprint. So, you know, 47, 50k isn't long enough. And even when people are trying to make the racing aggressive to go away, even like if that was an A1 race, like, sure, it's way too short to get a move going, like, you know. So I think, yeah, definitely make it a little bit.
What about pass a boy handling course before being eligible for an A4 license? A Sprocket Rocket course, an A1 handling course.
Logistically difficult. Who the hell is going to run that?
And we're running.
Where are the resources and that going to come from?
But there are problems we can solve. This is the start of dialogue. Yeah, in principle,
yeah, I think, yeah, it would be a good idea.
I think anything that makes it safer, encourages participation, and doesn't put an undue burden on volunteer race organisers, because they're doing a great job. There are, like, that's how the sport runs.
People taking it on board themselves, like, you know, going into A4 races if they're not competent themselves.
Yeah.
I think there's a large degree of people like that are going into these races that have to know themselves that they're shocking bike handlers.
Why'd you look at Evan when you said that?
You know, you have to, like, go and do club racing, take the onus on yourself, go and do some club racing, do over the winter, go and do some cyclocross where if you do mill yourself, you're going to land in the muck and not take 20 or 30 other guys down. So, you know, there is a large degree of taking it aboard yourself, I think.
Alright, we're going to scoot on to international news. I've very little details on this, but Sam Bennett won Tour Slovenia today. Bunch kick, Bennett first, Sonny Cabrelli second.
My man Cabrelli.
Yeah, you like Sonny Cabrelli.
I do like him, yeah.
3 hours, 52 minutes for Bennett. He nudging a few podiums in the Giro. He's obviously come out that well.
That's solid.
We called it last week.
Bit of a comeback as well. Mark Cavendish made an appearance as well. He was 10th on the stage.
Not bad.
Yeah, first race back.
First race back. When are we getting Bennett on the show? Sam, he sent you a message.
I sent you a message, Sam.
Will you fucking write back to him?
Leaving me hanging for 4 months.
Speaking of not replying to messages and not being able to get anyone on the show,
oh, yeah.
Aqua Blue won the fourth stage of the Tour de Suisse. Larry Warbass.
Super, super, super result.
Super, super, super result, indeed. Larry Warbass, he's rode for, here's some knowledge for you, Hincapie Development in 2012, BMC and OEM Cycling. Didn't even know if he was going to be pro this year, and he was won a stage in the Tour de Suisse. Big result for the Aqua boys.
Super, super.
Timmy Barry tried to get him on today. He's running and ducking.
Ducking and diving.
He's running and hiding. He was like Mayweather, ducking and diving that fight for months. Will we finally nail him down for next week?
Who knows? You'll have to join in and see.
He's elusive. We'll try and get him, nail him down for next week.
We've another guest lined up as well. We keep that one on the wraps though.
Oh yeah, we've a good guest.
We've a good guest for next week.
Yeah. So Timmy, we bump Timmy off the sticker.
He could get bumped off.
Sure, he's not relevant. Aqua will probably never win another race again.
He's relevant this week.
No. The boys will be working with Lurky and Heaton at the end of the season.
There you go.
Bloy to be modelling for hair gel.
Break cream.
Ah, Jesus. Right, stage 5 was a cracker. So stage 5 of Tour of Swiss. It was a medium mountain day. They went over Simplon Pass midway through the afternoon, but it was a flat finish, so it regrouped for the bunch sprint. A lot of lads fancied the breakaway after Larry Warbass the day before, so it was chaotic boys trying to get up the road.
It's a great name, isn't it?
Came together for the bunch kick. Quick step led it out. Did you see what happened?
I did.
Sagan, take a bow.
That was unreal.
Fucking hell.
That was some split decision, wasn't it? To jump across onto your man's way.
But it just shows you, if you're a good enough bike hander, if you're good, fast enough, you can win without a lead out train.
There was a thing. Could have very easily been a switch situation, though. If there was someone on the wrong side of his wheel, he would have wiped a load of lads out.
But he never wipes them out. Always say he could. Yeah,
he could, but he never does. Genius.
But like, Quickstep took it up. Quickstep floors. I don't know why he had floors to the end of that. Matteo Trentin only got toured after them taking up. You know, his teammate did nearly wipe him out. Michael Avesini, it wasn't a bad sprint for him. He's not a renowned fast man. He's a fast finisher from a small group, but...
Yeah, he's a bit of a lead-out man, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a good result for him. And while you were putting on your tinted moisturiser for the show, I was watching stage 6, which just finished. Domenico Pozzovivo, the little punch-sized rocket from As You Go There, won stage 6. He caught Michael Woods from Drapac on the Albaloo pass, and then he dropped him on the descent to the line. But what makes this interesting was Pozzovivo was toured at the start of the day, 25 seconds behind Caruso. So it was very tense coming across the line. Caruso finished 15 seconds behind, 10 second time bonus on the line. Level on time, Pozzovivo has the GC lead on countback.
No way.
Oh, that's knowledge for you. that's some bit of knowledge. The endorphins are flowing there from that knowledge bomb after dropping. But what makes that interesting is Michael Woods used to race against him in Canada.
Super rider, he is.
He lit me up more times than you can imagine.
I can imagine.
I drove for 2 days to get to a race. There was a climb after 3 kilometres. He whacked in the base and I went straight out the back. I was back in the car 15 minutes later. Castle was racing that day as well.
Castle get dropped at the 500 metres.
Castle hit the bottom of the climb. It was like someone took a sign on a tablet. He was gone. It was a big win for him. Big Tommy D, he's gonzo.
Yeah, pulled the plug. About time as well. He must be wrecked.
Well, he done the Hammer Series, which no one could understand.
Straight into it.
Yeah, like they were racing a road race on TT bikes. It was like some sort of triathlon.
Yeah. And then straight there?
Yeah. He's messing around, doing a bit of lead out for Bling Bling Matthews, but he looked tired. Good decision to pack it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Go home and get some rest and take a bow, because you're a legend.
Absolute hero.
Armstrong, are you following this?
On the Armstrong front, arguably on the Armstrong front, Heinrich Verbruggen passed away.
Yeah, what happened? I didn't hear.
Didn't actually disclose, not in the article that I was reading anyway, but he's 75, UCI president, for people that don't know, from 1999 to 2005. On a bit of a darker note, obviously he would have been renowned for being implicated, I'd say, with Lance Armstrong, and for maybe perhaps shielding
Armstrong. You let the man rest in peace.
I'm just giving them a bit of background.
You let the man rest.
Anyway, rest in peace.
Rest in peace after you fucking sully his name.
I didn't know, I'm just stating the obvious.
For fuck's sake. So Armstrong's whistleblower case, it's set to go to trial in November, but the attorneys are already having a little tete-a-tete of who should be accepted as a witness. Do you know what's going on with the case?
So it's
the whistleblower case. So Floyd Landis has taken a case alleging that Armstrong wasted taxpayers' money. So the US Postal Service are suing Armstrong for $100 million, which was the US Postal budget, I think, at the time, and plus the damages. But Floyd Landis is set to get a chunk of that if he actually wins the case. But so it's not starting till November, but the big debate they're having now is who's an eligible witness and who's not.
Right.
But Armstrong had a funny tweet there a few weeks ago where he had like his face and he's like, that moment when the US government is suing you for $100 million.
For fuck's sake.
It's not great.
Not great at all.
What have you got for me in Coach's Corner?
Coach's Corner.
We don't even have a Coach's Corner. Sorry about that. Coach's Corner.
You should know that. It's episode 30. You've held that up 30 times.
I know, yeah. We still haven't got some of the fucking cheats.
I know.
Still out of ink.
We lost our mic.
We got a label maker. We got a gimbal. Boogle forgot the wire for the mic, so we're using a new shotgun. 30 and we're falling apart.
Coach's Corner, crit season's on the way. Crit season's underway. Couple of points we want to talk about crits. So what would you say is the most important bit about preparing for the crit season?
Good health insurance.
Yeah, that'd be up there. that wasn't on my list, but yeah. Freshen up.
Yep.
Especially for those guys, particularly for those guys that have ridden the likes of the Ross.
How do you freshen up?
Rest. You know, I think crit sessions are the actual training part of it. They need to be hard, specific sessions and not Dylan and Anthony Walsh on it and riding around the coffee shop.
Right, I want to put you on the spot. I want to give you something that listeners will actually be able to take something away from this. Okay, so I'm going to a crit. What warm-up do we have for crit?
Ah, fear you not. I'll give you my warm-up. This is what I would do for a warm-up for a crit, and this is just my routine that I've used for years. So when I get there, I don't get everything fully ready straight away. I get my shorts on, a pair of shoes, socks and shoes, and get on the rollers. I spend 5 or 10 minutes, depending on how I feel, just literally zone one, turn the legs over, maybe listen to a few tunes or whatever. Then I get off the bike, spend 5-10 minutes getting all the other nickety bits together, like pinning on my numbers, overshoes if I'm wearing them, getting the skin suit ready, all that kind of shit. And then I get on and do my progressive warm-up pre-race one. So the 10 minutes at the start, it's just kind of to get the travel out of the legs and all that kind of stuff. More of a psychological thing, really. I don't know if it works in any way, but I've always liked it. And it's just built into my routine.
So what's a progressive warm-up?
Progressive warm-up, I'd start off with a 5-minute ramp. So starting off again at the same pace you finished the previous, so zone one. Ramping it all the way up to zone four, kind of your threshold, your FTP. Staying around your FTP for maybe a minute, and then backing off. Then the next 5 minutes, I throw in 3 or 4 seated 10-second, 8 to 10-second sprints, where you really kind of whip your legs up to speed. And then just spend 5-10 minutes or 5 minutes, which would be 15 minutes for a progressive warm up, 5 minutes easy zone one, zone two.
Very similar to the Team Sky warm up. Almost like you plagiarised it.
Is it?
Yeah, it's very, very similar. If you do 7-minute progressive ramp instead of the 5-minute progressive ramp, finishing just above threshold, and then 3 7-second sprints.
Seven?
Yeah.
Missed them by a second.
Yeah. There you go. What session should I do in the week leading up to it?
Great session here for you. Great here.
Give me one anyway.
Snots.
Snots. What's the
Snots. VO2 session here. This is great. I'm going to give this a couple of lads. Lurky's doing one tomorrow.
Is he?
Snots. Great. Really hard session. Off the faint heart at this one. So it's 5 minutes on four. Threshold.
Straight out the gate?
No. Warm up. If you're normal warm up, 15, 20 minutes or whatever. This is straight out. Bang for buck. Get it done. Session. Go home. Like, so you do your warm up. 5 minutes on four. So say your threshold is, you sit at say 350 for an hour. Bang on 350, not zone 5 or zone 6. So just sit there. So 5 minutes on 4 should be alright, comfortable enough, yeah?
Alright so far.
Straight into 10 minutes, no gap. Straight into 10 minutes of 20-40s.
Oh, that's hard. Zone 5?
The 20 seconds, it's 20 on, 40 off. At zone 5.
That's hard.
Straight into 5 minutes back at the zone 4 again. So it's a 15 minute effort.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Hold on, it's a 15 minute effort, so it's 5 minutes to start.
20 minute effort, sorry.
All right.
Yeah. 20 minutes, then you take 5-10 minutes recovery between it and repeat that set again.
Oh, that's hard.
So 2 20-minute threshold.
I won't try that tomorrow.
Hard, hard session. So you have the threshold emphasis and you have a bit of the VO2 stuff with the zone 5. So that's one session. Obviously, standing starts, a lot of people are really, really slow after a lot of stage races, riding along a bunch of zone 3 for 3 and 4 hours. So standing start sessions, I always like them, wake me back up again. So a simple session, I've always used it, great bang for buck, no kind of bollocksing around, would be 10 by 10 second standing starts. Hard, out, done in an hour and a half.
Make sure you have a new chain for that one.
Yeah, you'll wreck yourself otherwise. Again, solid. Simple ones as well, like speed. People are asking about speed. One session that I always do, and this, I don't know, like from a science background, it's probably, I can't probably make up any reason or why it would be great. But
speed wins races.
Speed, yeah, but like this one, I used to always, like, 3 mornings a week, I used to get up, hop onto the rollers, bugger all resistance on my rollers, I don't remember yours, but I used to hop onto the bike, zone one, zone two, but just spin my legs at 110, 120.
John, you can't do that on a watt bike.
You can't do it on a watt bike at all.
If you do it on the watt bike, you're doing like, yeah, 300 watts at like 110 with no resistance on it.
No.
So drawback at a watt bike.
Can't ride easy enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what my horse don't say. There's a couple of sessions.
To preempt a couple of questions that we had, which are on the crit topic as well, give me one tactical tip for crits.
Whack it. Right from the gun.
Position.
Position's huge. And always, don't ever start a crit thinking I'm going to take it easy in the first lap. That's a big mistake that I've made in the past.
First lap prime, I get you.
Just, you should be treating the first 10 minutes like it's, that's the end.
It does settle down.
It does settle down, but you need to go hard and be properly warmed up and ready to go for that first kind
of. It normally settles down after 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it doesn't. NCC ones just didn't settle for me.
That's one. Never do, yeah.
Like, remember you were saying that stage 7 for Ross, where you were like, oh, I'll go for another minute. It'll have to settle. And then you went for 2 minutes and it still hadn't settled, so you just pulled the plug. That didn't settle for like an hour and a half that day.
I didn't say I was pulling the plug.
You just ran out of fucking electricity.
Yeah. Boom. Gasket blew.
That didn't settle for like an hour and a half.
I know, yeah.
So like if you were saying one more minute. I know a lad, Mike Brookfield, good shout out to him, Ringo. All right, Ringo. Hey, that's my Super Nintendo. Good lad from Liverpool. Nice lad. Rode the Ross with him in 2010. And for 8 days, he rode around going, just hold for 5 more seconds. So we have 5 more seconds. And in his head, he counted down going, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He said that like, for every kilometre for the 8 days.
How many times did he stack it?
Oh, he stacked a lot of time. He crashed going uphill.
I can imagine if he was closing his eyes going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 that
he hit a pothole going uphill. We were going no more than 9 an hour. He hit a pothole and went straight over the bars.
Oh,
he's a great crack. He used to be frontman in the band actually. I said to him after a stage one day, oh, time to skin up, as in throw my compression skins on. He's like, looked at me and said, that used to mean something completely different to me.
Jesus.
Kit, The last piece of the voice, what would you wear, Kate Boyce?
Skin suit.
Skin suit, overshoes, mitts.
Yeah, the overshoe is not a necessity, but look, certainly
you feel fast. Well,
you feel fast, yeah. I don't really like overshoes. Nice white pair of socks.
Yeah.
Skin suit, pin your number as well, aero helmet if you got one, and a pair of mitts.
If you're Charlie Prendergast, a pair of Wilson socks. Ah, he's the best rider in the bunch. We're going a new bit of a section. It's not really a new section, but it's just something we're talking about there today.
Yeah,
but YouTube. We're putting a lot of effort into YouTube at the moment. Look, you have a YouTube subscriber mug to be on. I don't have a YouTube mug here. We're all, Bugger was called a YouTube influencer.
Someone called me an influencer, yeah.
And he was chuffed himself.
I was, and you took the sticker. You took the fucking sticker.
Yeah, that's the sticker's good. Well, you hadn't gone to the YouTube conference, you would have got the sticker.
Yeah, it's things to do.
There you go. You were on for a windy
walk with your missus.
Couple of YouTube, we've been dropping vlogs pretty much every day.
Yeah, they're on every day, every second day anyway.
Yesterday's one went down particularly well, the Wicklow 200 one.
It was, yeah.
Just go and check that one out. Today's one's a Ross one from you.
It is. A bit late, but you're better late than ever.
That's a lucky word, didn't want. He couldn't deal with thinking about the Ross or looking at the Ross, so we had to postpone the Ross one until he got over that post-Ross stress.
It did.
But a couple of other vloggers that are going strong at the moment that we noticed. One of my favourite vloggers, Cycling Maven, was in England.
He is in England.
And he's just done a collaboration with Cycling Cam, who we done a collaboration with a couple of weeks ago. So that's one to check out. Any other good vloggers you're watching at the moment, cycling-wise?
We were watching a Mad Aussie yesterday.
Ah, he's a fucking top. Geraint Ryder.
Ah, he's absolutely nuts.
I really don't like him.
Do you not?
No, I think he's stupid. He's a knacker.
Is he a knacker?
I don't like knackers.
You're a knacker.
He's not. He's nothing about him. I'll tell you who I do like. The original Roadman, Robert John McCarthy.
Ah, yeah. He is. He's a Roadman.
Yeah.
Good. I like Join him. Actually, you should check out Robert's channel. It's good. He's doing all the races. It's weird looking. It's
in Tour of Korea at the moment.
A blast from the past looking at
Robert John McCarthy cycling, I think he is.
Shivering looking at the one from Tour of Korea, thinking about it.
Right, Bugger, we're going to finish up on a couple of quick four questions and then we are a wrap for the day. The best ever cycling celebration. This is prompted by Sagan celebration yesterday. Someone's asked.
I didn't like his one yesterday. It's a bit shivering.
What's your favourite one ever? Pro or amateur?
Don't know.
I like Armstrong's World's win. Was it 97? 95 or 97? Someone correct me there. He milked it for about a kilometre before the finish line.
A
few Sagan ones. Sagan Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, Cadel Evans.
Cadel when he wiped the muck off the jersey in the Strada Bianca stage.
A mad fucking thing like this. Remember when he won the Worlds? Was it the Worlds?
Or Sagan done a few Call Me ones.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not a fan, I'm more of a classic celebration man myself.
Two hands off the bars. What about, speaking of the man who wouldn't come on the show, what about Timmy Barry's celebration when he won Ross Milne? Was it 2009, 2010?
Yeah, himself.
Took his hands off the bars, went down, broke his ribs.
Jesus. This is what happened to me. You don't come on
this
the show.
This is what happens if you don't come on our show.
You just take the piss out of you.
And make a mockery of you. favourite thing to eat on the bike?
Jellies.
My favourite thing to eat on and off the bike doesn't change. It's Ferrero Rocher. Because I'm going to the ambassador's reception.
Yeah.
I see you lads were out on the cross bikes today. Is it too early to get out on the cross bikes?
We're on the road bikes.
We're off on the road bikes. Sorry about that, Morgan, there at Planet X. They do make a durable machine.
Rock solid, rock solid.
A4, how do I improve my bike handling? Go off road on your road bike.
Do in around the Phoenix Park.
And try and fill them with one hand on the bars and one hand off, because I've had some very near get downs. Practicing stuff in the park, messing with your mates. You know, we go off road nearly every spin we go on, mucking about. Here's one, I don't know even if this is within the rules. Two questions, this is the second last one, and then we finish up because I'm conscious of dragging this on today. Someone's asking, they were involved in the A4 crash last week. Is it possible that he can petition Cycling Ireland to take out an A3 licence for safety reasons?
Ooh, interesting question. No.
I would say no, because it just transfers the problem up the ladder.
Yeah, 100%. Sure, the lad that's causing all the fucking pileups can go, fuck this, I'm moving up a level.
He just causes, sure, where does that end?
Yeah, at the Ross.
Yeah. It's Evan in the rollout of the Ross. He's got whole group.
Someone asked me that question, we'll answer it again, actually, from A3. He's an A3. It was on Instagram, I think he asked me, you know, is it too much to go from A3 straight to, obviously, you can ride the Ross as an A2 and ride it within a year. So it starts out as an A4, get upgraded to A3, starting the next season and then ride the Ross that year, I think it's way too much.
But the Ross isn't the Wicklow 200. It's not about finishing. There's no pride in really finishing. You're meant to be in it. Like, if you're getting dropped...
Like, I think you need another year, though.
Lads are getting dropped after a kilometre. Like, they're not really in the Ross.
Are you with me on the same page as this? Just wrap it up quickly. I think my advice to him was that you should be able to hold your own in a decent A1 race before you consider riding the Ross.
You should be top 20. Ability to get top 20 in Ross Mayon stages.
I know I kind of contradict that completely. But still, you know, I think you should be able to compete well in an A1 race before you do the Ross.
Right, but the last one to finish up on. What does Cycling Leinster need to do to help clubs promote stage races? Leinster only has one 3-day race. I stand to be corrected. That's the Gorey 3-day. And one 2-day race. There's clearly a huge demand. The Seniori 3-day has upwards of 160 riders and they have to cap it at 80. Why isn't Cycling Leinster promoting more races? And can they do more?
I'm sure they can, perhaps. Do more, but you can understand why individual clubs. I know the Paddy Flanagan used to be a 2-day or 3-day. 2-day, wasn't it? 2 days, 3 stages. And that's down to a 1-day, but it's resources, and you seen what happened last week. Like, you know, they got, there was crashes all over the place, and it is hard on the club to kind of to manage a 2 or 3 day event. So it will need resources.
Don't know is the answer to that, because I don't know the inner workings of how that works. Like, can Cycling Leinster give money to clubs to facilitate and get extra marshals in there? Like, just demand for it. Definitely.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah, there'd be demand every week for that.
Like, they used to have even a Leinster 3-day after the Ross. I remember it was 3 days, mm-hmm. and you didn't have to do the 3 days if you didn't want it. There were evening races. It was like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday or something.
Oh, Everland and Point.
Yeah. That was a good race.
That was good, yeah.
And you could rock up and just do it Wednesday if you wanted.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. I don't know where that went to. I think Usher promoted.
Yeah.
Usher
or Luke and one of the other.
Usher would have been a great club, Mick Usher, for promoting stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it just needs more clubs. It needs more volunteers, and the clubs need more incentives to promote them rather than roadblocks for promoting them. So I think it's Cycling Leinster and the clubs and Cycling Ireland all working a little bit closer together. But to be honest, I don't know, you know, working enough to figure it out, but happy to figure it out if someone sends me on some of that information. Boogle, episode 30,
it's a wrap.
Will you be here in another 30?
Oh, without a doubt.
Boogle's here for life. Thanks for watching, lads.
Cheers, lads.